Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You missed one great opportunity for a rapid-fire question, Jay. I like it. And since it popped up on Twitter, I'm just going to throw it out there really quickly. It's easy. You ready? Skydive or jet ski?
Jet ski.
Well, are you answering for you or for me?
That was my answer.
Great, thanks, because, you know, it was definitely called Ask Jay Anything. Anyway, no, I was saying that's the question, but we're glad to know that jet ski is for you. Now, here's the thing. I did jump out of an airplane. If you've never seen the video, there's no joke, there's a video on our YouTube channel. It was a professionally done video, a guy who jumped out of the plane right before me. So I have skydived. I've skydiven.
Skydove.
I skydove. I catapulted myself out of an airplane.
There we go.
Oh my gosh. The most petrified and terrified I've ever been when we were hanging out the side of the airplane. Like, the airplane is at 15,000 feet. We are hanging out the side of an airplane, just waiting for the cameraman to get down far enough so that we could jump. But for those like 3 or 4 seconds, we're hanging on the side of an airplane.
That's got to be the scariest
part.
Oh my
gosh, it was the scariest part.
Because once you jump and you're falling, you don't even have like time to be scared.
Well, I was nervous the first 10 seconds of the fall because I had a tandem instructor above me while we were jumping, so I was lower than him, and my chest was to the ground. And because the force of the air is so strong, you can't get a full breath in your lungs. So they teach you to do essentially a Lamaze breathing, like a... But when you first jump out of the airplane, you forget all of that. Like, you're literally falling through the air.
Yeah.
Right, and so for the first 10 seconds... my brain was not working. All I thought to myself is, oh my God, I can't breathe. I'm never going to last, because it's a full minute of free falling. I'm never going to last a minute. I'm going to die because I can't breathe. And then I remembered, when my brain started working again, okay, you're supposed to breathe with the quick, short bursts of breath. And so then I steadied and I was okay. But for those first 10 seconds, I was petrified because I couldn't breathe. I mean, it was really scary, but that's what they teach you. It just took me 10 seconds to stop freaking out.
Did you like pass out? Or?
No, of course not.
That's crazy.
It was only 10 seconds. I just was short of breath for 10 seconds until I could catch my breath, until I started channeling the air really quickly. So the skydiving video, I'm really proud of, because I actually stuck the landing. Like, I landed on my 2 feet. It was amazing. And it was most incredible experience that I've ever had in an airplane or out of an airplane. But it cost a lot of money, and I probably would never do it again, unless a partner or a friend wanted to do it with me. But I did it once. I don't need to do it again. I remember every second of it. There's nothing that I've forgotten. So it was a once in a lifetime thing. All that to say, jet ski, because I love the water and I love being out on the water. And I do have this great story that I'll tell you sometime about how I flipped a jet ski. And you know, it was hysterical. My friend and I were on it. I was driving. I was doing donuts with the jet ski, and we flipped over and we were stuck out in the middle of the lake because the engine flooded.
Yeah,
we were
it.
Stuck out in the middle of the lake for like a good hour before, and we were just laughing so hard I thought we were going to drown. We were able to get back up on top of the jet ski. It was up. Well, we flipped it, but it wouldn't start.
Yeah.
And all we did was laugh. Like, we made jokes about how we were stranded.
Just sitting on
day
the jet
13
ski.
Aboard the tiny craft. Like, we were on Gilligan's Island or something.
I've drifting.
never laughed so hard in my life. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was fun. So I do love jet skis, but that experience was hysterical. I went back and I've already started to answer some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I won't get to all of them until later on in the day. I'll wake up on Wednesday on your hump day and I promise to answer more of them. We've been doing this now for the better part of 10 years and yet you all still have questions. And the brilliant move of producer Jay to start posting on our Facebook and Twitter asking for your questions, usually around dinner time, Eastern time, on Tuesday now means that we're getting a much bigger audience and a lot of new questions that we've ever seen before, that we've never seen before. So thanks for all of those questions. We love to hear from you. We're going to keep Ask Amy Anything going as long as I'm here, which, you know, that could end any time now, but still, actually, it could end, but my contract is fully guaranteed. The company's not going to pay me to do nothing, so just assume you'll have me for the rest of my contract. The company's too cheap to pay me to do nothing. That's not happening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Crap, I might get fired for that. So anyway, on second thought, I love this company. You can find me on... Stop laughing, Jay. It's fine. It's totally fine. Everything's fine. It's totally fine. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate your validation. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We were asking you, if you missed my conversation with Matt Snyder, he's a baseball insider for CBS Sports. We kind of did a scene set as we get set for opening day, which is Thursday, tomorrow, opening day for all 30 clubs, barring any weather delays or postponements. What day on the sports calendar has more buzz and excitement and anticipation than baseball's opening day, especially with all 30 teams on the schedule? What one day? So we're not asking you about a full event. We're not asking you about, you know, the NFL playoffs as a whole. What one day on the sports calendar creates more anticipation and buzz than baseball's opening day? Jay, I just have to check with you. Has anyone said your answer yet? Because you told me you had a very unique answer.
Not yet. Haven't seen it.
Okay, so we'll talk about it before the end of the hour. Don't let me forget, because the last time I teased a conversation before the end of the hour was my Saturday story about the hookers. At, if you missed it, you're going to have to get the podcast. And so anyway, that's what happens. My friends tell me I'm funnier when I'm tired. Is that what's happening right now? It's good that you're laughing, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I get fired, you probably are out of a job, too. No, that's not true. They'll totally want you to work with the next host that comes in.
Oh, great.
Maybe they'll want you to host, actually. You're going to have to work with Sean Marash. He's going to get his own show. You're going to have to work with him every night. That's
the dream.
Yes, it is. Jay's already christening my replacement. It's going to be amazing. Or what about David Shepherd? You could have David Shepherd every night. You never have to work with me again. That is your guy, I know. You guys do the handoff, the baton in there. So I'm just campaigning right now for a couple of potential replacements, just in case the company is interested. All right, so the point is Jay and I will pay off on the tees, right? We're going to let you know our days on the sports calendar that we think can rival baseball and its opening day. But for now, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, we'll get back to your answers coming up. You know that in the Eastern Conference, there is jostling for playoff position if we're talking about the NBA. I wouldn't say it's as compelling as what's happening in the West right now, which is a total scrum, but what's going on with the Miami Heat?
Up fake on Bam, shot clock at 3. Freddie puts it on the floor, drives past Bam, goes to the 10, and scoops it in. How about Fred VanVleet? He just shook free from the All-Star big man and went straight to the rim. Back up top to Precious, straightaway three ball. Achiuwa is good on a frozen rope. Zeller closed out, and Precious, dead-eye, knocked it down, and the lead has grown back to 19, largest of the game. Pascal lobs a pass to Barnes out on the perimeter to OG, far corner to Freddie, three ball, bucket! That might be the nail, folks. Fred VanVleet just dropped the triple from the west corner, and the Raptors lead by 13.
So the Toronto Raptors make quick work of the Miami Heat, and with that, Miami makes the job a little more difficult. So Miami was attempting to catapult over the Brooklyn Nets, who right now are backsliding. I mean, they're just a disaster. Ben Simmons is not returning. I'm not sure anyone remembers if he's even on the roster. The Miami Heat were trying to get out of the 7-10 tournament by beating the Toronto Raptors, except they fall against Toronto, and they really just shoot themselves in the foot. And this is what it feels like with the Miami Heat, one step forward, two steps back with them.
I'd say disappointing for all of us, just because, you know, we came out in the first half, you know, electrifying, you know, doing the things we need to do when they adjusted. And, you know, we got into scramble mode. But, you know, it's one of those losses where, you know, it costs you something, but we still got games left to play.
I'm not surprised about anything that's happened at all this season. And we've said this a few times, and it remains true. There has been nothing easy about this season, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a negative thing. You have to embrace the struggle. You have to figure out ways to stay together, stay in the saddle, and then...
like you're riding a bull.
You know, persevere. And our group has great collective competitive character. There's so many teams that are going through similar things. You know, you're dealing with a lot of competitive emotions. And then you have to perform and compete at a high level. And we have been. We just got categorically outplayed, you know, tonight. You have to give them credit.
No Jimmy Butler in this game, which is always a big hole for the Heat. And Kyle Lowry is just not returned to the self that he was. Victor Oladipo is in that starting lineup. Remember his story last year, just the fact that he played. It was in the postseason where he was finally able to get into games. And he's now the starting guard, or one of the starting guards, I should say, for the Miami Heat. So I love Eric Spoelstra. I think he's one of the underappreciated leaders in the NBA, what he's accomplished, and the revolving door roster that the Heat have had. And yet, this one is a struggle, too. They seem to hit a ceiling continually, going back to, what was the 2020 season when they were against the Lakers in the NBA Finals? That was in the bubble, wasn't it, Lakers and Heat? Shoot, I could be remembering that completely wrong. I do love the Heat. But the Raptors get the best of them. They've got three consecutive wins now. The Raptors actually are in that 7-10 tournament and maybe could improve their position over the course of the next week or so. That's Raptors Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Let's shift our attention to the West, where the Red Hot Pelicans built a 20-point lead on the road against the Warriors at Chase Center.
Looped it outside to Payton. Leaves it for Curry. Payton will screen for Curry. Curry gets Ingram as a result. Gets a screen. Gets Valanciunas. Shoots over him and hits a three. Curry cuts it to 7, 87-80. Ingram dribbles midcourt. Stolen away. Poole gets the steal and a dunk. Payton and Poole combined for the turnover. It's a four-point game and Chase is going crazy. Curry down the lane. Underhand floater. No good. Got his own rebound. No look to Poole. Fires away. Three ball. Left corner. Curry with the offensive rebound. Curry comes left. Now gets McCollum. Checks the clock. 7 to shoot. Takes a jumper over CJ and knocked it down. A three ball for Curry. Comes back up the floor celebrating a little bit. Trying to get the crowd fired up. Willie Green has to call a timeout. The Golden State Warriors have a 10-point lead.
From down 20 to up 10, they outscored the Pelicans by 28 points in the second half. Now, if you think this was just Steph Curry or even Klay Thompson, who hit 5 threes, and believe it or not, I didn't know this until last night, he's got a new single-season high in threes made. And get this, he leads the league in three-point shots. Makes, just to clarify. He leads the league in three-pointers. I should have just said that. Klay Thompson. Remember how Charles Barkley said he'll never be the same Klay that he was? How about in your face? Klay Thompson has worked his arse off to get back to the point at which he can get up and down the court, no minutes restrictions, he can defend. He defended Luka the other night when they were going toe-to-toe late in a game against the Mavericks, and the Warriors needed that win, of course, so did the Mavericks. It was Klay who was lined up to defend Luka. And so he's become the player that he was, probably smarter. Maybe he's lost a step, but he's not lost his shot. Klay Thompson leads the NBA in three-pointers made. Steph had 39 last night to go along with 8 assists and 8 rebounds. But it wasn't them. The spark actually came from one Draymond Green, who, yes, did pick up his 17th technical of the year.
Draymond Green has been upgraded
yep.
to a flagrant.
There it is. Go. Yep. The way they're calling it, yep. It was upgraded to a flagrant one.
Draymond applauds at Malloy. He's very close to getting kicked out here.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot two and get the ball. Nothing for Ingram for the shove. Nothing for Ingram for the two-hand shove on Draymond. After the whistle will blow. Nothing for that. That's not fair. Sorry.
Draymond willed us to victory tonight. I mean, just his intensity, his frustration early with the way we were playing. Mad at the world, yelling at everybody, their bench, our bench, me. and frankly, we all deserved it. You know, like that first half was as poor a half as we've played all year, and we weren't engaged. But that's what makes Draymond special. It's not just the amazing basketball IQ and defense and playmaking, but it's just his sheer will. And he was the key tonight.
I'm not a big talker in the sense of getting in there, but you show your presence and get engaged on just the flow of the game at that point, and understanding what the task at hand was on the back end of all the trash talking and the fire. So I like to be in there and just feel that energy.
Steve Kerr says Draymond was yelling at them. He was yelling at our guys. He was yelling at me. He was yelling at the officials. I mean, this is Dre calculated. Lest you think. Now, there are times when he loses his temper, but there are also times when Dre recognizes the team needs a kick in the pants collectively. And if that means he has to bring the energy, he does. He's the guy that you absolutely adore on your team. And for the Warriors, how many times have we heard it? From Steve, from Steph. He is the heart and soul. He's the energy. He is the intensity. They feed off him. But if you have to play against him, he gets under your skin. The Pelicans took the bait last night. Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum. So this is Dre. There's a couple of things we want you to hear from Dre because it's kind of fun. I mean, I think he's great. If I had to have a co-host from In the World of Sports, as much as I love Steph, I think Steph's amazing. Dre is far more interesting. And there would never be a dull moment with Draymond Green. So next time someone asks me which athlete I most like to interview, it's Draymond Green. Anyway, Draymond after the win is on TNT. And I know there's a lot of noise in the background, but catch what he says about the trash talking. Yes, no, maybe so. I don't have a number. Sorry, it's just on the screen. Okay. All right, we'll get back to that. So the Warriors are able to pick up this game. And if you remember, they lost to the Timberwolves the other night at Chase Center. And so because of that, they had swapped places with the Timberwolves in the standings. Well, by virtue of this win, now the Warriors are out of the 7-10 tournament and the idle Timberwolves have slipped back into it. So it is a contest here. Thinking about the Wild West and the scrum, the Phoenix Suns are sitting in the 4 spot, but they're only a half game ahead of the Clippers, who are in the 5 spot, and the Warriors are only a half game behind that. So the Suns are about to get the home debut of Kevin Durant. If you believe the reports, Monty Williams won't confirm. Devin Booker, well, I mean, he's looking forward to it whenever it happens. But the Phoenix Suns desperately need a jolt of energy and a jolt of offense from KD. He's played only 3 games since the trade in early February, so they need him to stay healthy. And then you've got Timberwolves, Pelicans, who finally see that winning streak end. The Lakers and the Thunder are the teams in the 7-10 tournament. Ready? Got it? Yes. Okay, cool. Jay's caught up. I'm teasing. Jay's busy. He's got a lot going on in there. This is Dre on TNT talking about when he opens his mouth.
We started playing with some heart and intensity. That first quarter and a half, they punked us. And we were down 20. It takes a real one to talk when you're down 20. And I was able to get my guys going, and then they started doing what they do, and I can do what I do. I fouled B.I. It's a good hard foul, and C.J. started talking. You know, you don't start talking, play the game, and just enjoy what y'all were doing. They were playing a good game, and he started talking, and that's my type of game. I like that. That's what I do. I grew up in Saginaw, Michigan. That's how we play. And so once they wanted to go there, I enjoyed that.
He loves this. It's like the spider who says to the fly, oh, just come hang out with me for a little bit. You'll just approach. approach. It'll be fine. Everything will be fine. Or when you put is it a lobster that you put into the water, the boiling water, and they don't even realize that they're cooking? Yeah, no, that's Draymond. He lures you in. It'd take a real one to talk when you're down 20. Oh, that's classic. I wish it was cleaner audio, but that is so great. It'd take a real one to talk when you're down 20. That's true. Draymond doesn't care. He's got no fear, and sometimes I think no scruples, because this method to his madness, it works impeccably.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there.
You clown.
Stupid.
You're a clown. I know we're running a little bit late, but this is really cute because I want you to see the other side or hear the other side of Draymond. If you want to see it, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. His daughter is absolutely adorable. Big old head of curls, humongous dimples. She probably doesn't even know what her dad does for a living, really. But what she knows is that her dad plays with her and makes funny faces. So she's sitting next to him at his press conference. He's trying to talk about getting teed up again and suspensions and blah, blah, blah. And she is sitting there making faces, begging for dad to engage with her while he's supposed to be talking about the game.
We were just kind of flat, no energy, kind of letting those guys get wherever they wanted to go. See? Letting those guys get wherever they wanted to go. Hold on, baby. And so I just wanted to get us fired up. And once the foul happened, they started talking. Like, it's a hard foul, but it's not dirty. He didn't jump or anything. I caught him on the floor. I hit him with a shoulder. So once they started talking, then they gave me an in to kind of get us fired up. And I used that, and we got going.
So she's sticking out her tongue at him. She's making all kinds of faces. And he goes, ah, like makes a face and then goes right back to talking. Anyway, it's super cute. If you haven't seen it, it's on our show Twitter. So I would recommend it. These guys, many of them do have really neat personalities. I know Dre's annoying as heck if your team is playing against him, but he's really damn good at what he does. Really good. So you can check that out. And also Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert, yes, on Warriors Radio. Want to make sure I give them credit as well. All right, coming up, we've got Matt LaFleur on Jordan Love because the saga continues, and more with Roger Goodell. If you've not heard the latest about the Commanders and what they're going for, what Daniel Snyder is asking for the sale, OMG. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
First podcast.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy in a situation, and honestly, there isn't, at this point, a bad guy in the situation. As long as everything gets resolved the right way. They want to move on, and now I want to play, and so that would obviously be me moving on as well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lots of answers to our show question. What single day on the sports calendar is more buzz, more excitement than baseball opening day, the total package, which comes up on Thursday? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Anything to distract us from this long, drawn-out saga that is Aaron Rodgers to the Jets? And I thought he couldn't top 2 years ago. Boy, was I wrong. Radio Silent was fun 2 years ago. Nope, this has become... It's become not as fun as that. I'm just get it done already. But there are a couple of hangups. One, if you missed it, is that the New York Jets want some concessions from the Packers if Rodgers only plays 1 year. I mean, my thing is you're trading for a 39-year-old quarterback. It's no secret how old he is. It's no secret how many miles he's got on him. You know what he is. He's got two recent MVPs, two in the last 3 years. You know what you're getting. You know that he was, he says he was 90% retired before he went into the darkness. I don't believe it, but that's what he said. You know what you're getting. You're not bringing this guy in to be your franchise starter for the next 10 years. Why should the Packers give you any concessions? You're already not getting a number one, or they're already not getting an overall, well, a number one, first round draft pick is what I meant to say. They're not getting a first rounder from you because of the fact that he's 39 and because of the fact that he's potentially only 1 year. No, they don't have to give you anything else. You know what you're getting. How about get your own quarterback? Oh, you tried that. It didn't work. I mean, the fact that you're going after a 39-year-old means that you recognize he's a stopgap. Yes, he's Aaron Rodgers, but he's 39. I hope he plays better because I think the league is more interesting with a great Aaron Rodgers. Not so much the hair, but the great Aaron Rodgers. But why should the Packers give you guarantees when you know what you're trading for? To me, that's ridiculous. If I'm the Packers and I've already made the concession of no first-round draft pick, I say, screw you. We've got a quarterback. You're the one without. Unless you count Zach Wilson. Matt LaFleur meeting with the media in Arizona on Tuesday talking about Jordan Love. He admits Jordan is not Aaron, but...
We're excited about Jordan and what he's been able to... How he's been able to progress as a quarterback, how he's matured as a man, and you know it's going to be a different role for him certainly. And I think we all have to kind of temper our expectations with for him. It's different when you're going into a game versus when you're starting a game, and it's going to be a process. But it's going to be it's going to be exciting for him, for us, and I don't think any quarterback can truly do it on their own in this league, so it's going to be everybody rallying around him and trying to play at their best of their ability so that he can go out there and perform as good as he possibly can.
Matt LaFleur was asked whether or not the Packers would be open to Aaron returning, and I don't know that he did this because I didn't see the video, but it sounds like he just throws his hands up in the air. That's not my department. I got nothing to do with that. But he is, of course, highly complimentary of Aaron, as he should be. You're not going to get LaFleur to say a single bad word about his former QB. Am I allowed to call him that, former QB? I think I can call him that.
I've got nothing but love and appreciation for what Aaron has done for so many in our organization. Obviously, have experienced a lot of great times together, won a lot of football games together. Ultimately, did bring home a Super Bowl, which will always be disappointing. But he's done so much for myself, my family, our coaches' families, so many people within the organization, other players. A lot of people have been rewarded, quite frankly, because of his ability to go out there and play at such a high level. So, I'm just going to kind of leave it at that.
So Matt LaFleur talking about Aaron, and of course, you got to hedge a little bit. But he's able to take himself out of the negotiating equation because he's not part of that. And so it's not a bad position to have. He gets to focus on what he's got on the roster. At this point, it is still Aaron, but Aaron is MIA. He's definitely not going to be in Green Bay at any point, even if the deal stretches on for another month into OTAs. He's not going to Green Bay. He's done there. He's got a point to prove and a chip on that shoulder. The chip won't fit in the stadium in Green Bay. He's been outsized. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now coming up, Jerry Jones may have gotten himself into some hot water. He may have shared some information that he wasn't supposed to, or is he lying? Or does he know something Roger Goodell doesn't know? You know how much Roger Goodell loves it when the owners talk out of turn.
Get Mrs. Moxley.
Also, Roger is answering questions about this whole Amazon wrinkle and why it feels like the NFL is selling its soul for a few bucks when fewer fans are watching on Amazon Prime. It's good stuff. All good stuff. except for when I mess up my words. Oh, and I promise that Jay will get his chance, his moment in the sun. Best single day on the sports calendar outside of baseball opening day. With the same buzz, the same anticipation, is there anything better? You've got some really interesting answers. Checking them out on Twitter and Facebook.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
First and goal, the Cowboys' 9-yard line. Offset formation with Curtis Samuel deep behind Sam Howell. Snap, play action. Howell keeps. Runs back to the center of the field. At the 5, into the end zone.
Touchdown, Washington Commanders.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Commanders Radio, we know that Washington is falling on, I would say, a tougher stretch that is lasting a while based on their QB purgatory. It's a revolving door of quarterbacks right now, though Ron Rivera is very high on Sam Howell, and he uses Brock Purdy as an example of why Sam can be successful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's our hump show, which means you're headed forward into your hump day. You can do this. Baseball opening day is mere hours from now. If you missed my conversation with Matt Snyder of CBS Sports, he attended a WBC game as well as a bunch of spring training action in Arizona. It was an all-out blitz for a week and a half, so we had a chance to catch up with him, and we asked him a scene set overview of the season. But I did pose the question to him, based on the buzz and anticipation for Major League Baseball's opening day, what other day on the sports calendar can rival what we get or what we will get on Thursday? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page. And Matt is part of our podcast if you want to go back and listen to that conversation. All right, so let's talk about the Commanders a little bit here. Even though they have not registered a playoff win since 2005, before that, 1999. So they have one playoff win, a handful of appearances, most recently in 2020. One playoff win in 20-plus years. So after the 99 season, we're talking about 23 years since they've had a playoff win. I'm sorry, one playoff win in 23 years. Last Super Bowl win, the 91 season. 91 season. Before that, I think there was one in the late 80s, right? 87 maybe. So they are an iconic franchise, but they've seen better days. And yet this franchise, mismanaged by Daniel Snyder, with the accusations against him and against the franchise. Right now, he has multiple bids that meet his asking price. One is a Canadian billionaire who has a fully funded $6 billion bid. You guys, $6 billion. Fully funded. There's another ownership group that features Magic Johnson. Both of those groups have, in fact, matched the Daniel Snyder asking price. Now, remember, the last time a franchise sold, it was Denver Broncos last August. I think it was August. Maybe not. Maybe it was earlier in the year. This Walton Penner group is the group that gave the contract to Russell Wilson, so they're stuck. They bought the Broncos for $4.65 billion. Think about the... this is a stark increase. The Broncos have more recent success. Well, not the last 7 years, but more recent Super Bowl. They've got an incredible fan base too. Awesome city, wonderful facility. $4.65 billion is not even close to what Daniel Snyder will get for the Commanders. Crazy, right? Now, there is the investigation that's taking place into his workplace, not just behavior, but culture, some of the practices, the accusations that have been leveled against him and his family. And there's a report, it's the third report, right? There was an independent report commissioned by the franchise. There was one done by the NFL, the league, and now they've come up with another one independent outside the league, and her name is Mary Jo White. So get this. Jerry Jones is getting interviewed by reporters in Arizona And he was asked if he would like the Mary Jo White report. So the findings from Mary Jo White, again, it's a name you're just going to get to know. He was asked if he would like that report about the Commanders released, regardless of whether Snyder sells the team. So the point is, Snyder wants to get out before there's any charges, before any more damning evidence is unveiled. And he would probably be forced to sell the team if he didn't of his own accord. So here's Jerry Jones, who's asked about this report, even though I didn't even realize it was done yet. But Jerry is all kinds of sure that the report is, well, he knows what's in the report.
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Why, why?
Because I know everything in the report.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Someone just called Jerry Jones buddy, which I think is funny. Anyway, he says he knows what's in the report about the Commanders. And you can hear him hem and haw, which means he's trying to tell the truth, but at the same time, he doesn't want to give too much away. But apparently that was too much all by itself. Okay, again, Jerry Jones wants the report released because he knows what's in the report, he says. Roger Goodell, reporters trot right over to the NFL commissioner. Hey, did you know Jerry knows what's in the report?
Well, that would be impossible, since the only person I know of that knows anything about the investigation is Mary Jo White and her counterparts.
Okay. Well, then, Jerry's either got a man on the inside, a woman on the inside. Ooh, you never know. Mary Jo White might be the leak. She might be personal.
Because I know everything in the report.
She might be Jerry's source. Roger Goodell, incensed, manages to control his emotions.
Thank you, everybody.
I don't even know if he has emotions, but of course he's going to dispute that. Which do you believe, Jay? Which one do you believe? Jerry Jones, who is, let's be fair, is very well connected. We know that he's in the center of every brouhaha in the NFL. He knows everything. Or Roger Goodell, who swears that Mary Jo White, that she would never allow for a leak of that report.
I'll be totally honest. I believe Jerry Jones in this one. I really do. Why would he like make that up out of nowhere? And he's well connected. I think Goodell's trying to not
blow
let
smoke.
That leak get out. Yeah, but yeah. I think Jerry does know.
Oh yeah, I would agree with you. I think Jerry's probably very clued in to what is in the report, and probably. Even if he doesn't know about her findings, he knows about Daniel Snyder.
Right,
so
right.
It may not be so much that he knows what she's come up with or what she's uncovered, but no doubt many of these guys know what Daniel Snyder was doing.
Yes.
Because they either have employed people who worked there. Oh, like Mike McDaniel, actually. Mike McDaniel used to work for the Commanders. Now, he's not going to air all of his grievances, and he's not going to give you the dirt like Jerry Jones, but he does have one complaint.
When I worked there, I felt as though he was a guy that has lived his whole life to be the owner of that particular team. So it is surprising, I guess, and from my experience, just because of my, 3 years there, I didn't necessarily see that coming. But in general, people have different reasons to do whatever. I'm not going to pretend to know everything that's going on there. I'm just more looking at the fact that, wow, the organization's worth that much?
Exactly.
And, I couldn't get free coffee?
Oh, that's hysterical. I love Mike McDaniel. He is an acquired taste, but he's humorous. So anyway, he has no complaints about Snyder, except that they make a ton of money and didn't pay for the coffee.
I was like, hey.
Hey. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones is on he's on the inside. Roger Goodell, no matter what type of damage control he might do here, it's not happening. Speaking of damage control, the NFL is answering questions of whether or not it's putting the money, the billions of dollars from Amazon, its brand new streaming partner, over not just the players and their safety, their health, but also fans. We know that the ratings were down this year across the board because Amazon, it can't possibly attract the number of viewers on a streaming service that we would get on regular cable. So Roger Goodell is kind of tossing around the idea that the NFL may be prioritizing money over fan and player priorities.
I don't think we are putting Amazon over players' interests. We've always been looking at the data with respect to injuries and the impact on players. That was drove our decisions throughout the first 12 or so years of Thursday Night Football. I think we have data that's very clear. It doesn't show higher injury rate, but we recognize shorter weeks. We went through this in COVID too. We had to have a lot of flexibility in those areas. So those are obviously different circumstances, but we work very closely on that. I hear from a lot of players directly too. They love the 10 days afterwards. In fact, they call it a mini buy. Players have different views, coaches have different views, and we have to try to balance all of that.
Roger Goodell, ever the diplomat. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, producer Jay, we're going to get to some other answers from our social, but you tell me no one has come up with the day that you have singled out as the one on the sports calendar that can match opening day in terms of anticipation and buzz.
I haven't seen it. I see some good creative ones, but to me, one of the most exciting days of the sports year, first day of NBA free agency.
Really?
It's so, you know how many players change teams and the movement and the contracts that come out?
And it's usually around July 4th.
There is so much buzz on that single day when we see the big contract sign.
You're right. It's just they get so gaudy, and I get so tired of the NBA where everyone plays with his BFF. I don't enjoy it anymore because people are orchestrating. The players are orchestrating who they play with, and it bothers me.
A little more kind of exciting, too, because you get to see who's going where. I think, honestly, that the first day of NBA free agency is more exciting than any single day of the regular season.
Wow.
I really do.
I mean, that's saying something. Okay, so producer Jay is definitely correct. No one else has answered that. But we're going to run through some of your responses on Twitter. After Hours CBS and Facebook. Dennis says, for this baseball fan, no comparison. Football may drive the bus, but that bus isn't on my route. Lisa, the Thursday that starts the NCAA tournament. Tom, the Indianapolis 500. Great auto racing day because you also have the Coca-Cola 600, which is NASCAR. Luke says, probably bigger days, but nothing like opening day, the unofficial beginning of summertime. Cosmo, week one of the NFL. Another tweet for Super Bowl and also Kentucky Derby. Wayne says July 3rd, the Hall of Fame ceremony. That would refer to baseball. Byron says NFL season openers. Jeremy, Daytona 500, Masters Sunday, to name a couple. And then looking at some of your responses on Facebook, I've seen a bunch of Daytona, which I love. I've also seen Derby Day. WrestleMania, is that just one day? I thought there was a bunch of different days. I've seen first day of March Madness. I've seen, let's see.
No draft.
I've not seen draft. Oh, Labor Day weekend and start of college football. Something else I've seen. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk tonight. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Starting at just $4.99. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.